Steve, thank you. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy, and we're at 312-981-7200 if you want to chime in. Do we want to start out by talking about the Blackhawks, or is that too sad a beginning?
Can I just tell you that is the first thing and only thing I want to talk about today, because I don't know what's happening.
It doesn't seem like the Blackhawks team that we all know and love.
We're better than that,
yeah.
And I'm not booing them. We talked about this on the bonus hour yesterday.
Yeah.
You had stated something that confused me, because you said if, you know, you pay the money for a ticket, you have the right to boo them.
I just, for clarification purposes, I have not booed them.
You don't partake in anything. You don't even high-five anybody next to you.
I don't high-five people. I think that's reserved for people on the team. I do not high-five. But I don't, I've never been in a place and booed anything in my life.
Nor have I.
But at game two, at the end of game two, both you and I heard some fans, quote-unquote, booing the Blackhawks. And we were both amazed by that. Why would you boo the Blackhawks? And I said, I guess if you're one of those guys who paid several hundred dollars for a ticket, you feel I've got the right to boo my team if I want to,
maybe
don't you?
Maybe they were booing themselves.
Maybe they were saying Q.
Q. Lou.
I actually was booing you guys yesterday morning at about 10:40.
Why?
Why would you do that, Steve?
I don't remember exactly what the details were, but
you don't pay money to listen to us.
I get paid money to listen to you.
That's what it says in Steve's
well,
job description.
You. I just don't think it's right to boo them, and I it didn't look like our Chicago Blackhawks on the ice last
right.
night. You know, 2-0. How does it turn around?
Well, the first goal that the Predators scored was an incredibly fluky goal. I mean, really a crazy fluky goal. But once they scored that first goal, fluke or not, it really changed the momentum of the game dramatically.
And I just, I feel, I hate to say this, but Nashville looks great. They're fast.
They're playing well.
They really are.
It's going to be a long, miserable, humid summer for them after losing a three-game lead.
Wouldn't it be?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be? Let's hope that happens.
And it could, and it has before.
Right.
The Blackhawks have come from behind on numerous occasions.
Yes.
But
yes.
How many have they lost in a row now?
That would be 7.
When's the last time they lost 7 in a row?
I can't remember the last time the Blackhawks lost 7 games in a row. It's got to be about a decade. They lost their last 4 regular season games, 2 of them in overtime, and then they've lost all 3 of the playoff games to Nashville so far. So that's 7, and that's very uncharacteristic of them.
And with the overtime last night, typically when the Blackhawks get through that overtime, I'm okay with a shootout because I'm very confident with our skills.
Yeah.
Not with Pekka Rinne.
He seems flawless lately. He just seems to... It's like somebody's telling him in advance where the puck's going to be.
It seems like it.
I don't know how that's possible.
But if it got to a shootout, I was not confident like usual.
Well, like during the regular season, you know, the overtime rules change. For instance, in a regular season game, if you're tied at the end of regulation, you do a 3-on-3. And I'm thrilled with the Blackhawks in a 3-on-3 because they're just stacked with talent. You go, yeah, I'll take these guys in a 3-on-3. And then in a shootout, it's the same way. But in the playoff format, if you get to overtime, it's 5-on-5.
That puzzled me.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait,
rules,
how come there are 5?
There's never a shootout. Yeah, they play it a little differently because they don't want it. It doesn't need to be decided quick and easy like it does in the regular season.
Has someone informed the Blackhawks that they're in the playoffs?
I know. I think they know they're in the playoffs.
I know, and that's what I feel bad about when everybody's whining on Facebook and in real life. It's like, guys, they don't want to lose either.
No, they don't. And they're just not used to it because it's been so long. We'd have to look it up, but I'm telling you, it's been at least a decade since they've lost 7 games in a row.
Has it been that long?
Yeah, it's been forever. I can't remember the last time it happened.
Well, the only thing is going into last night's game, people are like, oh, yeah, this is going to make the story even greater when they come back and win. Well, now it's going to make the story even greater when they come back.
Yes.
And womp Nashville butt.
But really, if you look at teams in any professional sport, your 4 major sports, if you said you select the team that's going to come back from an 0-3 deficit, any sport, any team, it would be
this
the Blackhawks. It really would be.
Well, I just can't stand it anymore. My blood pressure's up. I got agita.
Yeah, do you have it? You officially have the agita right now?
I do. Oh, watching that game, and I was kind of falling asleep, and then I'd wake up, and then agita.
Yeah. Yep. you know, there's a phrase that the sports people like to use for games like that where they go, that's a nail biter. And I always go, come on. No one's sitting there watching the game biting their nails. Last night, I'm looking down. I'm like, oh, my God, I am. I don't usually do stuff like that, but I am.
I don't know what to do. What can I do to help? Kevin, the first
thing
he says.
Turn to voodoo.
First thing Kevin says to me, what are you doing that you're messing up the Blackhawks?
You stop doing pucks and pizza.
I stopped doing that, Wendy. And the playoff bra is gone.
Is that it? Really? Smithsonian? Did you send Smithsonian?
Goodwill.
Oh. Our local Smithsonian. It's almost as
maybe
good.
Maybe Judy Pilek will buy it with the goodbye girl. That'd
be
great.
Right.
I don't know. It's not my fault.
No, it's not your fault. You can't take any of the blame on this. It's nobody. It's, you know.
We did Pucks and Pizza last night. We did Lou Malnati's.
Don't ever do it again.
That's what
cost us
the game.
I can't guarantee that. I can't.
Now, did people, because it finished pretty late. Do most people stay up? I mean, I wasn't going anywhere. If it was into two, three, four, five overtimes.
I'd still be watching if it was still going.
Yeah.
Could they keep doing overtimes?
Oh, yeah. In the playoffs? Yeah. That's why they changed the rules. Like in a regular season game, they don't want the game to go 4 hours or 5 hours. But once it gets to the playoffs, they're like, there's too much riding on this. We got to play this out till there's a definitive winner.
What can we do? What can we do collectively? Can we all think a positive thought? Can we all be nice to someone today? Could we all wear red? I don't know. What do we do?
Let's think about it. There must be something to change.
I'm more comfortable doing things against people.
You want to do something against?
Yeah,
what do you want to do?
People from Tennessee or...
I love Nashville.
Burn, let's melt country records.
You want to do that?
Yeah, the positive stuff gets you nowhere.
Bring in your Travis Tritt records, and we'll see what we can do with them.
Randy Travis versus Travis Twitt. Who melts
Twitt?
Yep. You heard him. That's right.
That's
I'm
right.
With you, Steven.
And I'll say
Travis
behind,
Twitt.
I'll say it behind his back, too.
Kevin and I realized, you know, they had Carrie Underwood come out and sing the national anthem yesterday before the game.
Isn't her husband on the team?
Yeah, he's Mike Fisher, right?
Yeah.
That's correct.
So her name is really Carrie Fisher. I mean, she doesn't use that. She sticks with Underwood, her maiden name. But both of us were amazed by the fact that Carrie Fisher came out and sang the national anthem in the Hawks game last night.
And it wasn't a hologram.
Right.
I'm amazed at what's in your head.
Well, we like to get that stuff out of the way before the show so that it doesn't ruin the show.
I do walk in on weird stuff every day.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm glad you purged that before we start.
Kevin and my discussions would be the stuff that I think kindergarten children would go, what's wrong? What, you guys are adults?
And Bertrand eats paste, so it would all work out.
Some of that.
I was down there this week. They were talking about sexy teachers earlier.
Yeah. That came up.
For you know, show prep.
Yeah, it was in the news. There was another woman who had an affair with her student, and I said to Kevin, he didn't see the picture of the woman, and I go, guess what she, I read the story to him, and I go, guess what she looks like? And Kevin goes, I bet she's really attractive. And she is, because every time it's a woman who does this with one of her teachers, for some weird reason, they're really pretty.
Yeah, well, you know what? Didn't you have a school boy crush on some of your teachers, especially maybe not a school boy, a school teen crush when you were in high school? Weren't there like a couple of teachers? Because there were a couple of guy teachers I'm like, wow, he's hot, but I'd never act on
it. There's a huge difference between a crush and some teacher that's taken advantage of a student.
Right. You would think that they might be a little desperate or something.
Right. You
and
would think.
I will
cute.
Tell you, you know, long ago when the Mary Kay Letourneau story came up, it's like, you know, at first I was thinking, well, you know, how can a woman, you know, take control over a male student? You know, wow, it's not that bad, until I had sons and realized, wow, you know, the emotional connection is what's messing them up.
Oh, yeah.
Teachers are just for looking at.
You know what? I'm going to make a quilt. I'm going to write that in a quilt somewhere.
How about listening to? Can you listen to them?
Yeah.
Okay.
But looking at them primarily.
If you can look, you can't touch.
Right.
It says
that on the rule book.
It's in the school handbook.
It's
every
school.
I bet
handbook.
They add that to
Why
them.
Do they call it a handbook?
Oh, boy.
We must take a break for several reasons, and then we'll come back, and then probably more show. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN. It's Bill Leffin and Wendy Snyder. The Blackhawks are doing that thing that's so much fun to watch, where they lull the other team into this false sense of security. They go, here's what we'll do. We'll let them win a game or two or three and make them feel like, oh, we've got this in the bag. All we need to do is show up one more time and win, and we'll go on to the next round. but very cunning move on the behalf of the Blackhawks, who now will win four in a row and then move on to the next round themselves.
I do not like my back up against the wall like that.
It's as up against the wall as it could possibly be.
Yet I wait for every deadline till the tax day, by the way. Still haven't heard from my accountant.
Is this, Bill, where we have the must-win conversation?
This is it.
This is the must-win game. The next four games are must-win games for the Blackhawks.
And you hate when people just throw that term out there because sometimes they're not really a must-win. This is.
The Cubs and Brewers tonight, after dropping four in a row, it's kind of a must-win for the Cubs.
No, not really a must-win.
It isn't.
Some games are, it would be nice to win. These are, for the Blackhawks, these would be your must-win varieties.
Well, we asked what we could do to help to get the good mojo flowing. Ted, you have an idea?
Yeah, I mean, it's borderline full-blown emergency. So as fans, I think we start the tailgating in 10 minutes, which would give us enough time to get out of work and get what we need.
All right.
And I know this is going to cut into your quilting time, Bill, but I think you guys need to stay on the air until the Hawks win again.
I'd do it. You want to do it? I'll do it.
If they can guarantee they'll win, then yes.
There's no guarantees, but it would show them that we're firm supporters of the team, willing to just give it our all. I'm in.
What will the other shows say?
Oh, there's that.
Well, yeah, it just may have to come right. And I mean, what are you going to do?
Ted, it's a great idea. I love it.
You bet.
Thank you so much. Have a great week.
All right.
Thank
take
you,
care.
Ted.
I feel guilty. I'm not doing that.
It would be like a radio filibuster.
Yeah, it would be.
Not interested. It's a lot of hours.
When do they play next?
Thursday night.
They have a day off.
In Nashville. I think it's a 7 o'clock start, ooh. I think.
I like what I'm wearing today. I took a shower.
Wear that for a few days. You want to do
all
it?
Right.
You want to do it?
Who do we talk to?
I'm trying to think of how long before they would turn this idea down upstairs. I would do it if that meant a good future for the Blackhawks. I would do it.
Do we get bathroom breaks?
Oh yeah.
We like the Guinness Book, you know? Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's true. It wouldn't be just a marathon.
No, there would still be news breaks and all like that.
Fast forward 20 hours from now, what do you think we'd be talking about?
We'd be completely out of our minds.
I don't think people would notice.
Let's see, 20 hours from now, outrageous topics, like what a must-win is.
Right.
That really does bug you.
The same stuff we've discussed so far on
really
the show today.
It would be a lot different.
It'd be almost the exact same. It does bug me because I know that when you talk sports, it's just one superlative after the other. But it always drove me crazy when sports fans or sports announcers referred to a game. This, and I told you my story about Lou Kanellis. Right. It was the third Bears game of the season one year, the third game of the season. And he came on and he kept calling it a must. This is the Bears were 0-2. This is a must win game, a must win. And I go, Lou, what if they don't win? Does the season end? No, but it would be impossible for them to come back from an 0-3. It's not really a must win unless it's all over. If they lose, then it's a must win.
I could see where that would bug you.
Yeah.
Plus, Luke Kanellis said
it. It's not Luke Kanellis' fault. He's just doing what they teach you to do at sports announcer school, which is to make everything sound important. But the third game of a season, unless it's a three-game season, is never a must-win game.
So you have to learn how to say must-win and ridiculous?
Yes.
That's what they teach you.
David Kaplan has a class. It's if something is good, that guy's speed is ridiculous. And that means he's really fast. You have to use a negative to do a positive.
Thank you for translating.
It's obscene.
All right. That's why I didn't go to sports school. All right, Jan's on the line. Hi, Jan. What can we do to help the Blackhawks with their good mojo?
Well, here's what you can do. You can do the filibuster, mm-hmm. and I would be happy to give you my second round tickets for game two.
What? Really?
Really, because you guys are the best.
Oh, that's so nice.
Thank you. Not for 24 hours, though. I think you would change
it would
your tune.
Water down a little. Like in the second hour.
No. Wendy, you can do it for 48 hours with no problem.
Are you saying I talk a lot? Because you'd be right.
I would say this is a compliment. If there was anyone in the city that could pull this off, it would be you.
Well, no. I would
not
need
alone.
You. Yeah.
I would still be here. But like a lot of people, I'd go, oh, no, that guy or that girl, they'd fall out. They'd run out of stuff to say in 20 minutes. But you, I go, yeah, we could do like a week or 2 weeks if it took.
Thank you, I think.
No, it's a compliment.
All right,
it
Jan.
It's a compliment. And you guys are the best. I love you guys.
Jan, thank you. We love you back. Have a good week. Okay. Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. Bye.
Bye.
See, she didn't really mean it. Because she's not going to give up her tickets. If they make it to the second round, she is going.
That's desperate, though. When you're going, I have playoff tickets, but I'll give them away just for something to get the Blackhawks in. That's desperation.
What can everybody just do one thing today
that will help?
Yeah, like just a big positive vibe. Can everybody do one nice pay it forward thing today?
I texted Pecorini saying that the Thursday game has been canceled. So I hope he falls for it. Do you think he'll fall for it?
So we're thinking Conway Twitty albums.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I think that'll work, Steve, don't you?
Wing them out the windows.
Pecorini sounds like a part of your body.
It sounds like
I got hit right in the pecorini.
An unwashed part.
Right. Right.
All right. Now you've come to taunting the other team. It's not going to
yes.
work.
You know how they keep chanting Crawford right. and it
can
messes with us?
You,
this is Stephen, my way of dealing with pecorini.
How can that mess with you?
It doesn't.
I hear it. Like, it was so loud. They had
not
the
so.
Stadium mic'd more than they did
right.
Pat Foley and Eddie O last night.
Yeah.
It was, you could hear everything. Yeah. I heard a lot of F-bombs being dropped.
Yeah.
And when they start with that, Corey,
yeah.
who that doesn't hurt anybody's.
If I'm Corey Crawford, I go, wow, I've achieved stardom. They all know,
they're
all
my
these
fans.
People know my name. Didn't work out the way we hoped, but yeah. All right, we'll take a break. Steve has the news, and then there's more show. It's Bill Leff, it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN. Thank you, Steve. We'll talk to Bridget Carey from CNET in about 15 minutes. But first, this. People magazine every year puts out their list of the most beautiful women alive. And it's always actresses. It's never anybody in any other profession other than actresses, models, singers, sometimes sports people. It's never accountants or anybody in the banking business or anything like that. Always celebrities. Now, they will not reveal who is the most beautiful woman of 2017, but they will tell you the seven runners-up.
So it's, all right.
Oprah Winfrey is
I
one of
Oprah.
The most beautiful women. It says the media mogul, who is now 63 years old, looks fantastic for 63, is returning to film. And
it doesn't say that, does it, for 63?
I said that.
Oh, okay.
I didn't. No, I just said she's 63 and looks fantastic.
Okay.
I can't believe she's 63.
No. It's hard to imagine Oprah being 63, but she does. She looks great.
She is amazingly beautiful. I just love her whole being.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah. And she is returning to film work. She's got a couple projects underway. I just saw a promo for something that she's got coming out in a month or so. So she is one of the runners-up. She is not the world's most beautiful woman this year. Sorry, Oprah, don't give up. But you're a runner-up, and that's not bad.
She'll win something else this year.
Carrie Underwood, who we just mentioned, she sang the national anthem at last night's Blackhawks Predators game.
She's cute.
She's adorable. She's 34 years old. She
adorable?
She's adorable. I adore her. I have a small shrine set up to her. And
adorable.
When the shows are over, I go and I worship her. I adore her.
Can I say something, though? There's a difference between radiating beauty and adorable. There really
so which
is.
Which bracket would you put Carrie Underwood in? Is she?
She's
more
adorable.
She's adorable.
She's cute.
Cute
that's
a
what
button.
I cute, but beauty is different to me.
So, all right. So you would not put her on the world's most beautiful woman list, but if there was a world's most adorable woman list,
yes,
you might put her on there, right?
Yep. I just, you know, beauty is only skin deep, first of all. Let me say that. But, you know, I think of a, like, just beauty.
Let me give you an example. Tell me which list, and I think I already know. Kristen Bell. Adorable?
Adorable.
Adorable, right? Like,
is
there's
this are there blonde adorables?
You don't
I mean,
have
are there
to
not
be
blonde adorables?
I think it helps if you're going for adorable over beautiful to be more blonde for some reason. When I think adorable, I think more blonde, but if I think more beautiful, more classic
right, that's
beauty.
Stupid.
You
that's,
think?
Yeah. Because, like, I'm thinking Cindy Crawford. To me, that is a
beautiful
woman.
What color hair does she have? Dark.
All right, let me find a beautiful. Catherine Deneuve was beautiful.
She's beautiful. She's beautiful.
She's still around?
Yeah. She's French.
She was beautiful. Grace Kelly.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. So blonde can be beautiful.
Blonde can
Wendy
be beautiful.
Wendy Snyder.
Can brunette be adorable?
Wait
that's
a
my
minute.
Question.
Wendy Snyder
is going to talk for 16 days.
Way to save Bill.
I'm trying to think of an adjective that can sum you up, and there's not one. There's not
Thank
one in the
you.
English
I'll
language.
I'll take that as a compliment.
There's in other lands. Yeah. Mandy Moore made the list of the world's most beautiful woman, not the most beautiful. Sorry, Mandy Moore. Don't give up. But it says, return to the limelight with the hit series This Is Us.
Love
and
it.
The 33-year-old's natural beauty and beautiful voice is back in the limelight. She's very stunning.
She's pretty beautiful.
Yep.
I'd put her on the beautiful list. See, there needs to be like an age that makes you a beauty.
So you can't be adorable once you're what age? What age preclude? You just go, well, you're too young. You're too old to be adorable. Now you used to be adorable.
I just think, you know, like a fine wine, a beauty
right.
needs to mature.
Right.
I think you have no idea, but you're talking about a specific look.
Is
that possible?
It's nothing about age. It's like it's the way there's a certain look that you put as cute. It's a different word for adorable.
Yeah.
And then more of a classic beauty.
Well, someone who's truly radiating beauty
yes.
is someone who doesn't need makeup.
Yeah.
Someone who is just naturally beautiful.
Yeah. Well, like who? Who
like
would be
Kristen Bell? But she looks more pixie cute.
She's adorable. She's right.
We're
going
to go for 24 hours on the air.
Yeah, just doing this.
You see what I'm saying? They're beautiful women, but they have a different sort of beauty. So you call them cute, but it's not an age thing. It's the way their face is structured.
That's true. Bigger cheekbones, more prominent cheekbones, more chiseled chin.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
What, George of the Jungle? Is that who you're going after?
No.
How about Sandra Bernhardt?
Sandra Bernhardt.
She's not adorable.
Not adorable.
She has a beauty about her.
She does.
Yeah. A uniqueness. Right?
All right. I think Glenn's going to back me up here. Hi, Glenn. How are you?
I'm good, Wendy, and I got the perfect prediction for you. It would be Sophia Loren. Dark hair.
Beautiful.
A woman of perfect age and still absolutely breathtaking.
Radiant. She's radiant, Wendy.
Calm yourself.
She's.
You're just throwing out, she's adorable. She's radiant.
I went to adjective school.
She's the gold standard.
She's the gold standard. That's right.
Yep.
I agree with you. Good call, Glenn. Thank you.
Thank you, Glenn.
Fair enough.
I think you owe Glenn an apology, Wendy.
No, I don't.
Viola Davis.
You do.
Glenn, all right, I'm sorry, Glenn.
Right,
I don't really think Sophia Loren's that beautiful.
Wendy!
I know, I'm sorry. She has an exotic look to her, but you know what? Beautiful, Natalie Wood.
Natalie Wood is also beautiful. But Sophia Loren is beautiful in a different way, in a more intercontinental way. You don't see it? It's Sophia Loren?
I mean, she exudes beauty, yes, but
that's
not my personal taste.
Have Orion Samuelson tell you his story.
That's how
we got the nickname Big O. What about Emma Watson? What about Emma Watson?
How do you say
Watson?
O in Italian?
Oh my goodness gracious, mercy me. Is Emma Watson the one who looks like your daughter Reese?
Yeah, Emma Watson looks like my daughter Reese.
She's very pretty and, again, not old enough to be beautiful
More
for me.
More adorable
yeah.
than beautiful. I'm with you on Emma
Watson. She looks
Watson.
Just like your daughter Reese.
Yeah, they look very similar. Taraji P. Henson.
Don't know who that is.
She created the Muppets.
No, that was Jim Henson.
Whatever.
Goof.
Whatever. Taraji P. Henson is on that show Empire.
I don't know her.
You don't know her?
I don't watch that.
Once you saw her, you would see her. She's very confident.
Say that again for a spill.
Taraji P. Henson.
No, once you saw her, you would see her.
Yeah, once you saw her, you would see her.
She's beautiful.
You would know her.
I'd put her on the beautiful list.
Yeah. It says the stunning Empire star.
Oh, she's beautiful.
Age 46, worked tirelessly to get where she is today. And she's beautiful. Yeah, we can't deny it. And then one more, Chrissy Metz. Do you know who she is? She's on your favorite TV show.
What?
She's on This Is Us.
Oh, the daughter? Yeah. She's pretty, I think.
But not beautiful? How come? What's holding her back?
Her face.
No.
Again, I think she's really cute.
Kevin, send a copy of this to Chrissy Metz's publicity people.
No, I mean, I think she's really cute.
Yeah. But?
To me, that's not...
Not beauty? Adorable?
No, she's
just what?
She's
Yeah.
She looks like everyone else.
Yeah. But
her face doesn't have any special qualities that, you know, radiate. I mean, she's beautiful in her own right.
Right. But not classically beautiful.
Well, and I'm not talking about her weight, because you can have someone who's heavy who's beautiful. She's not my type.
All right.
She and Sophia Loren, she's in a good company.
She's in great company. She's in tremendous company.
All right, we have to take this very quickly. Ray, can you help us out between the difference, or the, help us out with the difference between pretty, beautiful, cute, adorbs?
Absolutely. Good morning, Bill and Wendy.
Hi.
Always a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
I just wondered if you had recalled that old expression, if you're at a bus stop and a pretty woman walks by, all the young boys and the young men will turn and look.
Mm-hmm.
If a beautiful woman walks by, all the young men and the older men will turn and look. But if a truly gorgeous woman walks by, all the men and the women turn and look.
Everybody. Sure.
Everybody.
All right, but now you threw gorgeous in there just to confuse us, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. I just figured it needed a little bit more mud stirring there.
It worked.
I like that.
Worked.
Thank you, Ray.
You bet.
Thanks,
have a
Ray.
Great one.
All right, we must take a break.
All right.
We're forced to take a break. Stick around. There's more show coming. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN.
It's a Tech Tuesday. We go live to Bridget Carey, CNET senior editor. All right, Bridget, I know we didn't want to exactly talk about this, but Facebook and Facebook Live, you know, this Steve Stevens just randomly walked up to somebody and killed someone on Facebook Live.
PR nightmare for Facebook, right, Bridget?
Yeah, and you know, Facebook has these statements going, we need to do a better job and of monitoring this kind of thing, because there's a lot of criticism over like how we have these tools, right, to just instantly broadcast or share video, but, you know, where does there need to be oversight? You know, like, what does that do to us as a society when we have all these tools to become instantly famous and kind of use these platforms like Facebook to broadcast whatever we want? And I think this kind of horrible situation, you know, is going to be talked about again in different ways. I mean, there's just so many easy ways that cell phones make it, you know, to just broadcast whatever you want. I'm sure we're going to keep talking about this kind of stuff.
Bridget, you had a couple weeks ago, you had a young girl assaulted on Facebook Live. Then you had a guy that was lighting rats on fire on Facebook Live. Then you had the story about this guy who killed a man on Facebook Live. It does need to be policed better, and what you're getting is people just trying to outdo each other and do the most outrageous, awful things on Facebook.
Well, I take a step back, and I wonder, is technology progressing faster than we as a culture can handle it?
Yeah,
or adapt to it, or maybe adapt to it, because it does something to the psyche to have a platform like that anyone can see, and you become instantly famous.
It is bizarre, and that started with YouTube, actually, too. There are these YouTube stars that just play video games that my kids watch, and they have billions of viewers, of subscribers. It blows me away. I mean, back in the day, you had to pirate a television station to come in and make some weird broadcast or something. Facebook allows you to do it, but I guess my question is, what can Facebook do to prevent that from happening, really?
The answer right now, tech-wise, sure, they got some algorithms to kind of pinpoint, you know, something might be off to flag it for a human to look at. But for it to be flagged, well, it's going to be live for a little while, so you can't completely stop it, right? Honestly, the tech right now still requires a human, still requires someone to report it to Facebook. Right now, there's no easy way to report with a button. You have to go through like 3 or 4 drop-down menus to be able to say something's wrong with this video. But what are people doing? No, they're watching it. They're not going through menus and menus to report something. So maybe Facebook will be addressing, you know, how it could do something. Facebook has this really big, actually, conference going on in just about an hour from now. They're going to go live and talk about the future of the company and broadcast that. I can't help but wonder.
Bad timing.
The elephant in the room, you know, they're going to, you know, at least mention that maybe they're looking into it. But the clear answer is, how do you report something easily? You get a button on there. But you see that on YouTube, you know, they try to make it better too, but they have the same problems. I think all this broadcast live stuff is a hot fad, But right, I mean, in the past, if you wanted to get attention for something, you had to do a huge stunt, and now it's just so easy. I mean, even, I hate to go there, but think about ISIS and how easy it is for them to broadcast things. And so everyone's got a platform for the world instantaneously.
Bad day for Facebook to be having this big conference. They mm-hmm. have to address it, especially with news of this killer being shot. Or I take that back, being killed. I don't know if he was shot.
He killed himself. He took his own life, they believe.
Okay. Yeah. That's wondering, I hate to admit this out loud, but I'm going to. I did not see him kill the guy on Facebook Live, but I did click on it to look at it.
Did
and
you?
It didn't go through, and I'm relieved. But in this day and age, I was ashamed of myself for wanting to look at that.
It's too easy, right?
Yeah.
How many and how many? Okay, so you have enough sense to like think about that. But how many kids stumble on this really quickly before you can get to them? And what does that mean? I mean, it's still out there too. People record it on their computers and you know share it on YouTube and other secret ways. So Facebook can take it down, but these things still linger.
That's the thing about social media, and the thing that I don't think kids understand is that stuff is out there forever.
Yeah, yeah. And there are websites, Wendy and I have discussed this, Bridget, in the past, there are websites that kind of are a culmination of all the things that other websites have taken down. You can visit them, and you can watch countless hours of just the most despicable acts, one after another, if you want to.
Yeah, and companies like Facebook, they want to be a media company. All tech companies now are kind of going in that direction, Apple, Samsung, and your cell phone providers. Everyone wants to be a content company. We want to have content to sell to you with advertising, and it's becoming more and more stressful now to them to police that content. I mean, just the other week, YouTube had a big problem with their advertising because a company as big as AT&T, along with many others, have said, you know what, we're never going to advertise on YouTube again because you can't control where our ads are going to. It's going to some trash, horrible videos, and yeah. We don't want people thinking about our brand that way. And so YouTube, you know, it took someone like AT&T to do that for them to go, okay, we're going to change the way we do our advertising, and they won't advertise or put advertising on small time videos. You have to have a lot of subscribers to even get an ad because they think, well, maybe you have a lot of subscribers, maybe you're more legitimate.
Yeah.
So still, they don't have a computer to fix it, but they're just guessing that maybe if you're popular, you're credible, and that's a big question mark.
Yeah.
You know?
All right.
All right. Well, that took up most of our time today because the news of that person, the killer, has been found, and we'll have more on that as it develops. Bridget, anything else you're working on real quickly?
Well, we are still looking at Facebook to talk more about virtual stuff, because after they get past this big awkwardness, I'm sure they're going to be talking more about the future of virtual reality and augmented reality, and it's all about what they can do with, you know, seeing video in new ways, because like going back to before, they want to be content companies. They want to, you know, show you fun things on your phone, and you know, they're going to show off maybe how they could do that. But I think people aren't going to care so much. I think VR right now is struggling.
Yeah.
Sales of Oculus aren't doing as well. That's the VR company they own, and they really are going to have to wow to make people think about it and convince people, I think, that it might be worth trying.
815 has texted us, I remember learning about future shock in school when technology moves faster than we do. We're living it now,
yeah.
And that's a good point. Bridget, thank you very much. You can find Bridget Carey at CNET.com. She's a CNET senior editor, and thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks. Take care.
Bye, Bridget. We'll take a quick break, then some news, then more show. It's Bill F., it's Wendy Snyder, and it's WGN. Steve, thanks very much. Hi, everybody. It's Bill and it's Wendy. And if you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, you know what I found out this morning, Wendy, and this is sad. This is kind of tragic and sad. Is that, you know, Kevin, our producer, got married a couple of short months ago, and it looks like half a year ago already. Wow. It looks like he and his wife have had their first fight.
I'm sure they had one before.
I don't think so.
This is new levels, Wendy.
I don't think so. Yeah, their first fight. They got into an argument, a row, a spat.
A brouhaha?
No.
A melee?
No. You're
a snafu?
Yeah, it was a snafu.
Kerfuffle?
Yeah, well, it might have been.
I love that word.
It was right on the border of snafu and kerfuffle. All right, listen to this, because I think I'm on Kevin's side on this all the way. Kevin, explain what's going on here.
I mean, I'll just preface it by saying I'm right here in this situation.
Yeah, you are right.
Okay, so that's your first mistake.
So that's what
you're
going to
lose this fight.
Yeah.
Well, no, I was saying, so last year we have a little back deck at our apartment, and a robin took residence there. She built a nest. And it was right above, like,
it was
where
Robin Baumgarten. The WGN TV Morning News.
She's real.
I know she is.
She's
she
Robin.
Built a nest on Kevin's
back
porch. Yeah,
and that's the problem. Well, no, but so, you know, I have to go out this way if I want to, like, grill.
Yeah.
Or if I want to take out the garbage or if I'm leaving for the day.
Robins are mean when they're protecting their eggs.
And every time I walk by, she, like, comes within maybe 6 inches of my head. Like, she wants to peck my eyes out.
She swoops at Kevin.
So... So, and this is a problem, especially if, like, I'm grilling and I'm coming up with a big plate of, like, burgers or, you know, steaks or whatever.
Because Kevin doesn't carry a knife. He carries a spatula. He has nothing to defend himself except for a single spatula.
I don't even know how to defend myself against her. She's flapping around all violently, and it freaks
me out.
They're
very mean when they're protecting their young. Robins especially.
Yeah. So this year, I noticed that she was starting to build a nest again, and I said, no, not going to happen. Knocked it down with a broom. Sarah is none too pleased with this, to the point where she's called me a birderer.
A birderer.
She's funny.
So we're kind of going back and forth about it. I have not touched the bird once, just knocked down her nest, and now I have a rubber snake hanging up there to kind of freak it out, and she keeps trying, but I'm not letting it go.
All right. First of all, I have had the same problem. Right by our front door, we have a grapevine wreath.
Yeah.
And there was a robin who made, this is the time of year,
mm-hmm.
she made a nest on top of our wreath.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't notice it right away, but I did notice a lot of droppings on our porch. And I'm like, what?
Yeah.
So I saw the nest was up there. I took it down. There were eggs in it. I threw it out.
You did?
With
the eggs and
well,
all.
Oh. I didn't know what to do. I put it behind the bushes at the neighbor's.
Oh, wow.
No, I didn't. Wow. But I did put it in the bushes. I didn't want to throw it out. I didn't know what to do. I knew she wouldn't find it, but they hadn't hatched.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my house.
See, I'm even before this, like, there are no eggs even laid yet. So I'm trying to not...
Preemptive strike.
Yeah,
okay,
exactly.
But this is where I'm going. It happened again after I disposed of those. The nest started building again because you notice like weird things. Like all of a sudden there's a piece of straw. It's a piece of newspaper. You
right.
notice all this stuff. So when the nest was being made again the second time, I took it down and you got to prevent that from happening.
That's what I'm saying. And everybody I've talked to about it says, yeah, they'll find another place.
Yeah.
They'll go somewhere else. And it's not, yeah, it's not a
yeah,
big
no,
deal.
You're not a birderer.
Thank you.
I'm more of a birderer than you because there were eggs in it.
But in both of these cases, it's the food chain. You're at the top of the food chain. It's your house. It's your property, and you don't want a bird. You don't want a bird attacking you on your.
They
home.
Don't follow the same rules. It's not like you
but,
know.
But you're the one. I mean, that's your place. You can't have a bird that could potentially. It could take Kevin's eyes out of
him. She's
it.
Tenacious. She'll fluff her feathers at me, and she's mean.
Well, the snake will work, and I have looked around as to what to do.
Just a rubber snake?
Do you know what I have up there? They say to put like a dinosaur or a snake in it, because it will, they'll think it's a predator, and that's not a safe spot.
Yo, you have a Star Wars figure.
Yeah,
don't you?
I have Watto, who is a little figure who has wings on him.
Yeah.
I kid you not, I put that thing up 3, maybe 4 years ago. There has never been another nest,
that's
ever.
That's what I'm hoping for.
It really worked.
When I was growing up, our next door neighbors one summer had a nest right by the front doors of every house in our neighborhood. Is this? It's almost like a uniform light. They just put an electrical fixture there. So it's right by the front door, just like a regular light, right? So it would build a nest in the upper portion of it. And then one time when they opened the door, because it would always get spooked. Every time a door would open or close, it would get spooked.
Because, it's
fly.
A bad spot to build
terrible
a nest.
Terrible spot. And one time, the bird just flew right into the house. Instead of flying the opposite way, away from the house, it just the door opened and the bird got scared and flew into the house. They never found it. It's in the house, and they couldn't find it. It just flew in the house, and that was the end of it.
Well, it obviously died.
Somewhere.
And the same thing with the bunnies. I was in the backyard. I let Tiki out. He's sitting in the backyard. Tiki has probably about 7 killed rabbits on his belt.
Wow.
he's a dog. They come in the yard.
Yeah.
And I was sitting out with him this weekend. He was digging the sunshine, just sprawled out, and there was a bunny like 3 feet away from him.
Wow.
So I tried to scare the bunny away before Tiki saw him, and that worked. But then I looked a little later in the afternoon. There were two bunnies doing it.
Yeah.
It's
in
like
a
what,
room.
Yeah, in someone else's yard. And they're built these crazy rabbits. I know it's spring fling and everybody's doing stuff.
Sure.
But they make nests in the center of our yard. Can't these people, can't these bunnies like smell the scent of a dog
yeah,
that lives? It's right
they'd
in the center
to.
Of the yard.
No, they're not going to make it there.
They're not going to make it.
No.
Tiki has eaten a couple and it makes me mad at him, but he's just, it's his yard and he's being a dog.
Right. But that's what I'm saying with you or Kevin with the nests is that even though I understand Kevin's wife being a little upset, Sarah going, oh, don't do this to an animal. It's,
but you're not doing it to the animal.
No.
Well, and the thing about it, too, is the bird seems to only mess with me. I don't know what, like,
why would that be?
Sarah, like, baby talks the thing, and it's like it just looks at her pleasantly. And then I walk by. I don't even stop by. I walk by, and it's flapping in my eyes.
You're taller. You're closer to the nest, so
there's a jogging trail by us, and anytime Terry would run on that jogging trail, there'd be a bird that would come out of nowhere and just go for her. Didn't want her anywhere near the trail.
Birds can be very mean.
I know.
And you're not doing anything. You're just kind of huffing and puffing and blowing the nest down, and then she'll go build it somewhere else.
Right. Yeah.
Is Sarah really mad at you?
I don't know, like, mad.
She used the word birder.
She's called me on multiple occasions.
That's serious.
It's hurtful. But yeah.
Kevin came in, he was crying, and I'm like, what's wrong, Kevin? He didn't want to talk about it, but I got it out of him.
I'm with you 100%.
Well, yeah.
Bill, you're with Kevin?
Oh, 100%.
I told you.
Sorry, Sarah. I would side with the woman.
Yeah, right.
I usually side with Terry, although there are some times that it's like...
When Terry and I have a disagreement, this is a secret between you and me, I side with Terry because she's just better rounded than us. She gets stuff that I don't get. So, yeah, but not this, not with a wild animal that could peck your eyes out.
Pecorine. See, it all comes
right.
back.
I know.
Damn.
I know.
And they're messy, like you were saying, too. And
oh, they're terrible.
Nest stuff all over
you
the
don't
place.
Need that.
It's the worst.
Uh-uh.
Wait till the bees start coming now, too. I mean, spring is great. I love it. But there are these little problems that come with the wildlife.
Yeah. Yep.
Bring on winter. Yep. Just kidding.
Shame on you.
A break and then more discussion if you want to jump in. You know how to reach us, right? 312-981-7200. It's Bill and it's Wendy on WGN. Kevin, our producer, and his wife are at each other's throats day and night. They don't get along anymore. Why? Because of a bird. A bird set up a nest, and Kevin wants to get rid of it, but his wife, Sarah, don't want to mess with wildlife. I get that. I understand that. But look what it's done to them.
Everybody's heard about the bird.
The bird is the word, Wendy.
All right. Robins can be very... Can I just say something? And Carrie, we'll talk to you, but someone just texted me that dealing, you know, moving a nest or hurting a migratory bird is a felony.
Is it a felony?
Hit with a big fine.
Oh,
it's on my front porch.
Yeah, I don't know that you would get any kind of felony charges for getting rid of a
robin's
nest.
I don't think so, or a federal offense. Carrie, what did you have trouble with a bird?
I didn't, but my husband did.
What happened?
He took a vacation day last week, and when I came home at 2 o'clock, he had been having a battle with a robin all morning building a nest on our front porch light fixture.
Mm-hmm.
He took it off. And she'd build it again. He'd go back out there. She took it off, and he'd build it again. Well, finally she stopped after like four times. The next day we went back to work, came home, nothing. The following day we came back home. She built a nest, but no eggs.
Hmm.
She left.
Hmm.
So she like built the nest in spite and then left.
Right, just to mess with you guys. That doesn't seem nice at all. What a terrible robin.
And I kind of told my husband, oh, leave it alone, leave it alone. So he decided this last time to leave it alone, and now she hasn't built any or put any eggs in there.
You guys won. I give the point to you.
That's why you're not supposed to put all your eggs in one basket.
That's why they say that.
Amen.
Thank you, Carrie. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
All right. Talking, Kevin was having a fight with his newlywed
wife. Huge fight. I could hear them by my house.
Well, I like the fact that she called you a birder. I don't think you are, but Stephen, I think you are.
Well,
I don't think so, but I was playing this game this weekend over Easter, and then when I heard about his problem, I thought this would be a great solution, because another word for the shuttlecock that we use is called a birdie.
Sure.
So if she, if he just hits it with a badminton racket one or two times, that bird's not coming back.
Kevin, what do you think about
that? It
won't
build anywhere.
I think that would escalate the situation between Sarah and I. I don't think
but
work.
You don't want to hurt the bird.
No,
you just don't want to share your deck with her.
Yeah.
Well, I was thinking maybe Kevin's wife could get the other badminton racket and they could just use that bird as the actual shuttlecock.
Maybe. Use an actual birdie when you
play
badminton.
You know, he should, Steve, you should be a marriage counselor. You have some great ideas.
Right? I have all the great ideas.
Thank you, Steve. Take care.
You're welcome.
Wow.
All right, now Andrew's going to explain the Migratory Bird Act. Am I a felon?
Technically, yes.
Oh.
It's called the North America Migratory Bird Act. It covers Canada, U.S., and Mexico.
And what does it say?
It's got quite a few laws in it.
Even for the common robin, there are robins everywhere. They're not endangered.
They migrate.
Yeah, it's a migratory bird.
They migrate.
Yeah.
But it's my own property, and I don't want to get pooped on when I'm walking into my house. Or attacked.
Unless the bird's nest is in danger, such as being hit by exhaust from a car or possibly attacked by a dog or something like that, you can't move it.
Wendy, you're going to the big house.
I'm sorry. It was on my front porch. If it's in a tree, I'm not going to touch it, even if it's near the house. This was on my front porch. I could have just changed my mind. I don't want to hang that wreath anymore. And then, boom, the nest is gone.
Right.
The same with a lot of people think it's cool to pick up feathers.
Mm-hmm.
That's also illegal.
Just to pick up a feather is illegal? Why would that be?
Because you cannot distinguish whether or not you've actually killed the bird to get the feathers or if you picked them up.
Oh.
All right. Well, I don't mean to break any laws, and I didn't, you know, hurt a bird, but I did remove the nest, and at one point there were eggs in it.
Wendy.
Who do I talk to? Do I turn myself in, Andrew?
You might want to just Google the Migratory Bird Act and read through it.
You want to get yourself an attorney fast. You're going to the slammer. You're going to be in the new season of Orange is the New Black.
Oh, my God. I've always wanted to be on a television show.
Oh, you're going
to
be on that one.
All right. Well, Andrew, and I'm not making light of it. I don't agree with hurting any animals or anything. But again, if there's a nest, although since I put Watto up there, he has wings. He's scared them.
Right. Right.
So there's never been another nest, but I'll tell you something, and maybe I'm a bad, bad girl, Andrew, but if there's a nest up there again, I would move it again.
Knowing what you still know?
Yeah.
Front
porch. Thank you, Andrew.
Yeah, you might want to also look at the dollar amounts for the fines that you could incur.
What's a roundabout cost? What would that usually cost, Andrew? Do you know offhand?
No.
But it's a lot of money, right?
Yeah, considering you're dealing with the federal government, not state.
Wow. All right. Well, thank you, Andrew. Wendy will try to be more careful.
Okay.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye.
Why are you answering for me? Thank you, Andrew. I appreciate it.
I'm serving as your power of attorney because I'm afraid
Dude,
this is
if you
it.
Are my power, I am in
I'm
big trouble.
I'm afraid you're going to...
the Hooskow?
Yeah, to Sing Sing.
No. Hi, Bob.
Hi. I got a solution.
What is it?
Get an indoor-outdoor cat.
Do you want a cat, Wendy?
I had a cat, and I wouldn't let him outside because I don't agree with outdoor cats, but... Yeah. That would help.
I have outdoor cats, and last year it was cats 11, rabbits 0.
Really? They're pretty efficient.
I mean, we have no problem with mice, rabbits. The problem is every now and then, I mean, we put out bird feeders, so every now and then they'll take out a bird.
Yeah.
But a cat is just like a human being. It's the only creature in the world they will kill for pleasure.
Right. Yeah, how about that?
I mean, they'll kill the animal, okay? They'll play with it for a while, and then they'll bring it to you and say, here. And you drop it at your feet and
just
say,
like
hey, look what
do.
I did.
There is one other downside, though, Bob, is that then you have cats. Do you see that as a negative a little bit?
Well, no, because what we do is we have a heart trap, so we trap them. And we have them spayed and neutered and give them three-year vaccine. So
makes it okay.
The last time we had cats was 8 years ago. And we've been here 29 years. Wow. So.
But Bob, when people have outdoor cats and I'm in my yard and I hear the sound of a baby rabbit squeaking because a cat has killed it, that's upsetting to me too. At least Tiki kills him right away so there's no squealing.
Right. Yeah.
Well.
There's that. Well, but it is a good... Oh, go on.
You know what they say? You know what they say about Mother Nature? I mean, Mother Nature is very cruel.
Yes, and that's correct. Well, we appreciate the phone call. Take care, Bob.
Okay, love your show.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
This took a turn.
It really did, Kev. Did this help at all?
Nope.
Nope, not even a little bit.
I thought I had her beat. I kept knocking it down, and she didn't come back. Then this morning, I saw it again. So I'm
take it down.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
put a hose on it.
Wow.
Because then you're not really doing anything. You know, what if it rained really hard?
Yeah, maybe that's what happened. You forced a rainstorm, Kevin. There's nothing wrong with that. We'll take a break. We've got news. And then Lucianne Walkowitz joins us. We talked some science with the 13th sexiest scientist in the land. Stick around. It's Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Science is fun, Bill.
That's what I'm hearing,
That's what I hope the new Barbie says someday.
Right.
Science is fun because it is. Our favorite astrophysicist, Adler astronomer, and guitarist in a band, Ditch Club, Lucianne Walkowitz, joining us once again. Hi, Lucianne.
Hi there. Thanks for having me back.
Are the credits okay in that order, or would you rather us scramble the credits? Okay. Just making sure. There's a lot going on in the world of science, but let's start out with Earth Day and Earth Fest and what we need to know about this.
Yeah, so this Saturday coming up is Earth Day, as it is every year. And we at the Adler have a wonderful party, essentially, that we throw for our planet called Earth Fest. Mm-hmm. And this year, we're focused on Earth's climate. So we have a whole bunch of different activities all day. It's also an Illinois resident discount day. So if you have proof of residency, you can get in for free and enjoy all these programs.
Awesome.
Yeah. So I'm personally really excited because we wrote a special show for our Granger Theater, which is our sort of big, fantastic dome. If you haven't been back recently, actually, we just redid all of the projectors. So it's now sharper and brighter and darker than ever.
I didn't know it could get better than it is. Every time I'm in there, it's amazing, but it's even better than before.
Yeah, so we do a lot of stuff where we show what we call data on the dome. So we make these beautiful shows that have compelling visuals, but also help explain some of the science behind what we're talking about. So myself and another Adler astronomer, Mark Zuberau, and a whole host of folks wrote a show all about not just the Earth's climate, but how it relates to like studying planets out in space.
Yeah. So, can I ask you something about that particular show that goes on in the dome? I first saw it when I was in grade school. We went there on a field trip, and I've seen it a half a dozen times since, and it astounds me every time. Is anyone's dome show or planetarium show, anyone's even come close anywhere in the United States, or is that the best of the best?
Well, I think it's the best of the
best. Yeah, let's go with that.
What kind of question is that?
It is the best of the best.
Triton College had the CERN and Space Center, which did a pretty decent job, and I loved when they did Pink Floyd's The Wall.
Did they really? Did they do that? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that I like about our dome is that we have this like digital projector system, so we can do things like show real data and create things relatively quickly that are really beautiful and help showcase not only the things that we know about our universe, but the things that have been like recently discovered and help tie those things all together.
Oh, it's amazing. Good.
I don't want to get political here, but there are a lot of people who say that climate change and global warming is just something made up. There's a guy in charge of some big things that says it's fake. Could you please explain to people listening that Earth Day is April 22nd? We need to protect our Earth, and definitely climate change is the real deal.
Yes. So I would say that actually what I'd like to do is invite anyone who, you know, wants to learn more about it, wants to learn some of the science of how we come to believe, how we think we know that climate change is happening, to come to the Adler on Saturday, because we have a focus this particular EarthFest on what we call climate conversations. So there'll be spots all through the planetarium where you can sit down with an astronomer or an educator and talk about, you know, how we come to believe the things that we do in science, with a focus on climate. And, you know, part of this is also that sometimes, you know, a lot of what's happening right now is that people are like, well, why does NASA work on the Earth? And that's one of the things that we deal with in the show, is that there's this amazing synergy between what we know about our Earth and what we can learn from living on a planet that has life on it, and also comparing that to our neighboring planets, Venus and Mars, mm-hmm. and how that helps us understand where places that life might be in the universe might reside. So it all kind of fits together in this like wonderful puzzle.
Is there a scientist anywhere that doubts that climate change is legitimate? Have you ever come across a single scientist who goes, yeah, I'm really not sold on it?
I have not come across a single scientist that believes that. I'm sure, you know, scientists are humans, so yeah. There's probably one somewhere, but yeah. I've never met them.
Right. I would even doubt there's one. Do I still have to stop using aerosol hairspray because I can't live without it?
I think you can get some that doesn't have CFCs in it.
There is, yeah.
Well, how do you know?
I just know that they invented it. It's been around forever.
Well, they had the pump for a while, and that didn't work
Bill's
as well.
Bill's an expert on hairspray.
I'm a hairspray expert.
All right, so we have EarthFest that's happening April 20 what?
2nd.
Oh, it Saturday, is. It's yeah. actually on the day. Mm-hmm. You can go to adlerplanetarium.org. I'm excited about something that's coming up in August, and I'm throwing a date out here. I might be wrong, but August 21st.
I always mess up whether it's the 21st or the 19th, which is terrible, but I think it's the 19th.
Okay, and a solar eclipse or a lunar?
It might be the 21st. It might be that I'm going down.
It is the 21st, because I'm at a hairspray symposium that weekend.
Ah, okay, excellent, yes.
Isn't that the name of your hairspray symposium?
Symposium.
Yeah, totally correct. It is the 21st.
Okay, but I remember this because I've heard it being talked about. This is going to be a complete lunar or solar eclipse? I
solar
get confused.
Eclipse. Yeah, so lunar eclipses are a little bit more common. Total solar eclipses are relatively rare, and this is a particularly exciting one because it goes from the Pacific Northwest to the United States and cuts straight across on a diagonal down to the southeast. So we'll be almost in totality here in Chicago, and a little bit further downstate will be 100% totality.
So will it be dark?
It will be dark, right?
It will be darker. So you'll still see a little bit of the sun, and if you have a safe projection system or some sunglasses, not regular sunglasses, but like eclipse viewing glasses, you will be able to see that the sun is mostly covered.
Do not look right at it.
Yeah, no, do not look right at it. Again, we'll have lots of programs for the eclipse at the Adler. So if you want to come down and, learn to safely view the sun without burning your retinas, we would welcome that.
I would like that. I use my retinas every day. Yes. I don't want to burn them.
They're some of my favorite eyes.
Eye parts.
All right, but you're not supposed to look at the sun anyway. And
yes, do not look at the sun.
Yeah, but I mean, on occasion you look up at the sun and you squint and it's like, oh, but is it worse to look at a complete solar eclipse?
Only because you might be looking up and be astounded by the amazingness and then continue to stare longer than you would otherwise.
But because it's an eclipse, you're fooled into believing, well, it's a little dimmer. I can look right now.
Right.
But you'd
yeah,
be wrong.
No, you will still, your it's still a very big
head.
Bright star.
Terrible.
And can you still make those little boxes?
Little projection systems to look at the eclipse. Yeah. That's a totally straightforward, like, you can look up lots of, if you actually just Google, like, viewing a solar eclipse safely, you'll see all kinds of options there.
A piece of paper with a pinprick in it or something?
Yeah, exactly. You make kind of like a little pinhole projection system.
Yeah.
See the things I remember from, like, third grade science?
Yeah, and super low tech and, like, DIY, cheap to do.
But it works.
So, yeah.
So why not?
I mean, this is like how people studied the sun
forever
when there were not, you know, very advanced, wonderful spacecraft that could like take these amazing high definition movies that we now have of the sun.
Yeah.
People just, you know, marked out where the sunspots were by making projections and drawing them.
How fun is this? All right. August 21st. When will it be visible here in Chicago?
August 21st.
At any particular time of day?
If you go to, an eclipse lasts over a certain amount of time. I'm not totally sure what the exact point of, coverage is. I think it's in midday, but if you go to, timeanddate.com, they have a list of eclipses that, occur. And so, we'll also have that up on the Adler's website, coming up
soon.
It'll
say how long the eclipse will last.
And also like when, the eclipse is sort of at its peak point.
So it's only for a minute or two, right? Really?
Well, it takes a while for it to pass across, but there's like a center point of it, and that's a specific time.
Okay.
All right, here's the dumbest question you're going to get ever.
And you've been on with us a lot, so think about how dumb this question
is. It is really dumb, and I should know the answer. But what is cover? What is passing by the sun cover it up?
So anytime we have either a lunar or a solar eclipse, it all comes down to the alignment of the moon and the sun and the earth. So when you see a lunar eclipse, what you're seeing is the sun is shining on the earth, and then the side of the earth that is in shadow, that it's experiencing nighttime, sometimes the moon will pass through the shadow of the earth. And so you'll get this sort of, you know, red or very dark coverage on the moon.
Right.
A solar eclipse is when you have the moon, the sun is shining, the moon is between the earth and the sun, and so you're really standing in the moon's shadow.
Oh.
I'm being followed by a moon shadow. I would like to sing with Ditch Club if you'd ever like to do moon shadow.
We'll have you come in for a cue.
All right.
Is it better to sing Moon Shadow, Total Eclipse of the Heart, or Dark Side of the Moon during this?
Oh, which song is the most appropriate? I think if I had to pick of those three, I would go with Total Eclipse of the Heart.
Yeah, Bonnie Tyler.
Really?
All right, good call.
That's what you're going with?
Yeah, it's appropriate.
Have you seen the video for that? That song is crazy.
Very steamy. Very steamy. Lucianne Walkwitz is here. If you have any questions, you know how to reach us, right? It's 312-981-7200. Yeah, try to top Wendy and my dumb questions.
I thought it was the moon, but I wasn't
sure. That was a great question. More after this. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Nothing I can say, a total eclipse of the heart. I'm Bill, that's Wendy. This is VH1's Behind the Music. Today we're taking a look at Bonnie Tyler, her illustrious career.
She sounds like Rod Stewart, doesn't she?
Sounds and looks like Rod Stewart. Very similar. Lucianne Walkwitz is here, although we always wonder why. Because every time I'm here, I say to myself, that's the last time Lucianne
come for the astronomy, and I stay for the Rod Stewart jokes.
Good.
All right, now, no questions are stupid. I felt like I asked a dumb one. A solar eclipse happening August 21st. You can view it here in Chicago. You can go to the Adler Planetarium. And I wondered what was making the shadow. One would assume it was the moon, but I wasn't 100% sure. I figured you were the right person to ask.
And now you hopefully know. You get to stand in the shadow of the moon.
Hmm. Now, Bill has explained to me off the air that Jim may have a dumber question than I.
Maybe.
Go ahead, Jim.
Hey, is welder's mask okay? Or is there a certain level of sunglasses you need? Is there a number?
Jim's question, Lucianne, was could you wear a welder's mask to take in the eclipse? Will that be enough eye protected for you, or do you need more than that?
Yeah, so I can tell you that, so first of all,
It's not a dumb question.
It's not a dumb question
at
all. Let me say, first of all, that I have very little knowledge of welder's masks. And so if there's a
You see Flashdance?
If there's a variation in welder's masks, your mileage may vary.
Oh.
But welder's glass, the stuff that's in the mask, is actually really good for blocking out. It essentially blocks out a lot of the light from getting to you.
Are you a welder, Jim?
No, I just collect things. I'm a personal friend of James Lovell.
Really?
Yeah. How about that? All right. So, yeah, Lucianne's advice, Jim, is you might want to use a little more than just a welder's mask.
A welder's mask should do it. I just don't know whether there's variations in welder's masks.
Is this an old one or a new one?
It's old, which means it's dense.
All right.
No shortcuts.
All right. Well, thank you. Enjoy the eclipse, Jim.
All righty, have a good one.
Take care.
Hope you can see afterwards.
All the questions we have for you today, Lucianne, are about welding. Are you okay with that? Every line is filled in. They're all welding questions.
I swear, after watching Flashdance, I wanted to be a welder.
Yeah.
I wanted to have some hot older guy buy me lobster.
Sure.
And I already wore the sweatshirt that was off of one sweatshirt because that was very popular.
That is a good look. We don't have a lot of time to discuss this, but there's a huge conference coming up in the Bay Area that I think is really interesting to everybody. Explain what's coming up.
Yeah, so tomorrow evening I'm headed out for this meeting that's Thursday and Friday that's called Breakthrough Listen. So some people might have heard of this. It's funded by this guy, Yuri Milner, who really wanted to see people make progress on the search for life beyond Earth. And not just, you know, that's something that, like, astronomers do in general, but he's really focused on, like, the search for intelligent life. So this meeting is focused on, like, how would we go about detecting life on planets around nearby stars? You know, could you do that in, you know, the radio, or would you be able to use optical light, so where your eyes are visible? What are some of the signs you might look for? So I'm looking forward to going out there and discussing new approaches to doing that kind of stuff. So it's exciting.
Do you think we're going to find anything in your lifetime?
Oh, man, I hope so.
I do, too. Nice.
But I am spending a lot of time working on this.
Yeah.
Not going to be anything in my lifetime.
Didn't they, for a while, they would send out recordings, right? They would send out little satellites that had recordings that they would play over and over of different languages and things. That was the way they tried it, right?
Well, so we had the Golden Record
That
went out on Voyager that I think is what you're thinking of.
And
we've definitely sent like messages out into space before, but we've never actually detected anything like that. So the question is, you know, are we doing it right? Should we do it more? Should we change our approach? You know, what are all the different things that we could consider? Because, of course, we don't know anything about what life might be like out there. We don't know whether it's common or rare. We don't know whether it's mostly microbes or whether there's another species that, you know, builds advanced technology and thinks about this kind of stuff, too. So
it's really fun to think that there's something not unlike Earth somewhere out there that is wondering if we exist. You know what I mean? We just haven't hooked up yet.
Well, the key is intelligent life. I think those are the words that's our stumbling block.
Well, I don't know. There's a lot of intelligent life here on Earth that we can't communicate with. Like, think about having a conversation with a whale.
Yeah, right.
Whales.
Oh. Yeah. I got to work on my whale impersonation. I can't do a dolphin.
That was great.
Wow. That was really good.
A porpoise just came to the window. I've never seen that before.
I'm going to call the Shedd Aquarium. Maybe they can use my services.
All right. Lucianne, again, we're amazed that you keep coming back.
But
thank you for doing that. And if people want to know more about your work or the Adler Planetarium, the way to do that is what?
Go to adlerplanetarium.org or just come by on Saturday and come see our show.
Perfect.
Happy Earth Day.
It'll be a great time. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much. We'll take a quick break and then more show. Stick around. Bill and Wendy, WGN.